ازيك يا باشمهندس عبد المر ياكوبي صبحك ازيك يا باشمهندس دانيال شين بس يشوف فاوت اوكي today شيء باشا شميني so I wanted to talk about one part of the parsha having to do with the death of Nadav Avihu and the whole story there and it has to do with Hilchas Avelos as well and it's also something I know many of you learned in the Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, so it's something that I saw also in the Chiddush HaLev. So I'll put it all in. And unfortunately, my wife's grandmother was Nefteris before Pesach on that on the Friday right before. Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shchal Yos B'Shabbos. So that Friday, before the Erev Pesach, the Erev Pesach was when we got the phone call that grandmother, this is Roz Keller. She was a niece of Rav Moshe Brikzatzal, and she was Nefteres on Yud Gimel Nisan. So, and then we'll get to the parsha and the hashkafa as well. So we know that there are two parts to the beginning of Avelos. Chas v'shalom, somebody passes away. So between the misa and the kvura, they're considered an onen. They're considered an onen, and an onen doesn't do mitzvahs. Right? An onen eats without a bracha. It's a very, I remember when my father was nifter. So my situation was very, because the second my father was nifter, 10 o'clock in the morning, I called whoever I needed to call. And by 3 o'clock, he was buried. This was in the beginning of COVID, when, you know, it was a chiddush that you had a minyan and a tara. So we couldn't waste any time. So I called the person up. And by 3 o'clock that afternoon, it was the kvur already took place. So it wasn't so many such a long aninus, but yet, you know, I wouldn't make a bracha, etc., because an onen is supposed to be focused only on the mace, on the kvura, and things like that. So you don't even make a simple shahakol mi'abidvaro between the misa and the misa and the kvura. So but there's another din. Rav Schacht always likes to say from Rav Soloveitchik that the real din of onen is by korbanos. That if a person loses a relative, so then he doesn't eat, he can't eat a korban, because a korban is a simcha dikka thing. So between, and there, it's not only between the misa and the kvura, it's from the misa and the whole day. Even if the kvura took place, say, in the afternoon, even past the kvura. Because this is a din d'oraisa. Of the real din d'oraisa of aninus is that an onen, which means, in this context, it means from the death till the end of the day, and even maybe even with the rabbanon the night after, he doesn't eat korbanos. And then rabbanon made a a din de rabbanon that we call it onen, but like Rav Shecht always says from Rav Soloveitchik, it's really the Lashon HaMishnah in Brachos, Misha Mesa Muto Lefanov. It's only a din from the Misa till the Kvura. And after the Kvura, then he goes back and does all the mitzvahs. Again, the only one mitzvah that he doesn't do, in other words, after the Kvura, so now he has to daven mincha. If it's, you know, if he missed Shachris, he missed Shachris. So that's finished. He missed Shachris. And there's no Tashlumen, because Tashlumen, you don't have to make it up, because tashlumen means only if there was a chov. If there was no chov, in other words, if you for some reason you forgot, you didn't daven shachris, something, whatever. And it was b'shogeg. You didn't do it in Beis, but you were mechuyev. But you were, for some reason, it was. So then you daven mincha twice. You daven, but here by Misha Mesa Mutu Afanav, the person died in the morning, and then the kvur was in the afternoon. So he missed the whole shachris time. So he didn't daven shachris. So and it's every after the zman shachris. So he'll do tashlumin for mincha by mincha, meaning he'll daven two shmon esreis by mincha. The first shmon esrei he has in mind that it's for mincha, and the second shmon esrei he has in mind that it's for shachris. It's the tashlumin. However, there is an interesting halacha is that tefillin you don't put on. Tefillin, in other words, even though you didn't put tefillin in the morning, right? So lechora, tefillin has nothing to do with the morning per se, right? But the halacha is that an ovel yom rishon doesn't put on tefillin. In other words, usually an ovel is chayiv in all the mitzvahs. On onen between the misa and the kavura, he's Potter between the Misa and the Kavura, he's Potter, but in terms of after the Kavura, he's Chayiv in all the mitzvahs, so he should put on tefillin, right? Why not? Tefillin is not a din for Shacharis per se, tefillin is really a din the whole day. It's just that we don't have such good, abilities to mechavein and to keep ourselves, so we our minhag is we just keep it on for davening. There's some people who are on high madrigas like Rav Scheinberg, Satzal. He used to keep on tefillin the whole day. He would wear tefillin the whole day. But we're not on that. Well, Havdil b'chaim l'chaim, Rav Nevin Sal Shlita. So he wears tefillin the whole day. But we're not on that madrigas, so we don't wear tefillin the whole day. We only wear it for davening, and we usually just wear it for shachrus. But here, when he didn't have shachrus, for sure he should b'chor put it on by mincha. No, the halacha is that ovel yom rishon doesn't put on film. And there's a shita that it's even yom sheni he doesn't. But by yom sheni, is that as long as he went and had mitzvah yom kahulo that he puts it on after sunrise, then he can put on film the next day. But that's the so that's the one mitzvah that even after the kfura he still doesn't do is the tefillin. There's a sheet of the Maritats that says that the concept of not putting on tefillin is only if the misa and the kfura were on the same day. The misa and the kfura were on the same day, and but if it's like in a situation where he died one day and then the kfur is not till the next day, then the Maritat says you do put on tefillin. But our minhag is that people don't put on tefillin on the day of the kfura, even after the kfura, even if it was not the same day as the Misa. Now, normally the halacha is you're supposed to bury somebody right away. Somebody dies, you bury right away. In Eretz Yisrael, they have kfuras at night. It's not like America, the cemetery closes at a certain. There's no such thing. The middle of the night, when the person dies, right away. You don't, and that's the, but in America, in other places outside of Eretz Yisrael, so they do the kfura. The Gemara says that. Look, there's a din of halonas hames. You're not allowed to leave the mace over. So with my father, Allah Shalom, so it was a very unique situation in America that he died 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 3 o'clock he was nikbar. Usually in America things don't go so quickly. They call this one, they call that until you do it. But. And it wasn't like anyone else was going to come. It's not like we were waiting for somebody. Everyone was there. It was there, and just, and we were fortunate that we were able to have a Tara and a Minyan. That was the beginning of COVID last year on Vav Nisan. But there is a halacha that helineu lechvodo, that you could malin mace if it's the covered hames. And that's how people a lot of times, because This one has to come in, and that one has to come in. So they do it for the Kavod HaMeis, they're malim. It's interesting. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that ain malimin es HaMeis biYushalayim. One of the things in Yushalayim is we don't malin the mace. So what do you mean you don't malin the mace? You don't malin the mace anywhere. No. So the Shita Mekubetza says even for Kavod HaMeis in Yushalayim, you're not malin the mace. Even the Kavod HaMeis. That Yerushalayim has the minhag that we do right away. I remember many years ago when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away. So the way it was going to be is the plane was going to arrive at night in Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be this huge levaya at night, which was a question of safety, to have so many people, at Rav Vosna's levaya, which was years later, unfortunately, I think one or two people were smushed and died at the levaya. You know what I mean? It was not, it wasn't a, so in the end, what happened was when Rav Moshe's plane took off, it took off and there was a problem with the plane. So they had to come back. And Rav Reuven Feinstein told one of my Talmidim that if they would have had got off the plane and they would have had to need a new plane, they would have just stayed in America and bury him in America. But since they didn't need to do that, then they took off again. But in the meantime, you know what happened? That delayed them a bunch of hours, and it made the time that the plane finally got to Eretz Yisrael, it was already daytime. So it was a machlokas, I think Rav Feinstein said, between Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman. In other words, I forget who said which way, but one of them said, we have to follow Minhag Yerushalayim. We have to bury him right away, even though it's the middle of the night, and and it's not the opportune thing to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the dark like that. Who knows? That's the minhag. And the other Rav said, no. We should wait till the morning. We should wait till the morning. So Rav David Feinstein said it was a machlokes, Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman what to do, and Rav Moshe was machria, because lemaisa, because of this whole maisa with the delay of the plane, the question got resolved by itself. Question got resolved by itself, and they got it when they came, and when they came already was daytime, so the whole question didn't have to wait anymore, and then there was no problem. It was daytime. There was no safety issue because it was the light was already there. Now the situation where my father-in-law had recently was we got the phone call on Friday, Friday before Pesach. This we, as we know, Erev Pesach was Shabbos. So the Friday right before, it was Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's when we got the notification that our grandmother had just passed away. So I was trying to push that, to try to do it, right then and there. In other words, Shkia was around 7 o'clock, so we had 6 hours. But you have to realize, you need to get the death certificate. You need to get, and then you're going right into Shabbos and Yontif. So I called up Rav Shmuley Hartman, and he told me to call up Yerayim. I called up Yerayim, and at first they said, we don't know if we're going to be able to do it on time. You know, 6 hours is a lot, but it's a lot, but it's a little, because on an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, this was a Erev Shabbos, and then right into Yontif, it was a very, and then he called me back that he thinks maybe they could do it, but in the end, my in-laws didn't feel comfortable because it would have been that my grandmother would have been just buried without anyone there. Because there wouldn't have been enough time for the family members to go there and then come back in time for Shabbos, or it would have been very, 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 very tight. It would have been very tight. So, So I guess the Mishum Kovet Hames. I mean, the thing over here is this would be a question of waiting 3 days, because it was Shabbos and then 2 days of Yontif, So that's part of it, to try to see if we could push to do it. But again, this is whatever this became. So in the end, she was buried on a Tuesday of Chol Hamoed, Tuesday of Chol Hamoed. But if she would have been buried on that Friday, then once Yontif came, then Shiva would have been over. Shiva would have been over, you see it a little bit. But again, it was a difficult call, and this is what happened in the end. So. Because it could be that the family members might not, maybe he could be, he would have been. And you know what this fellow also said to me? He said, I could either do it, he said to me, maybe today on Friday, or, the Gemara says, and some of the Hasidim still do this on Yom Tov Sheni. Right? In Yom Tov Sheni, the Gemara says in Beitza that you can bury a mace on Yom Tov Sheni. And that was, in some of the Hasidic communities, they still, and I think Breuers used to do it also. And some of the real old Kehillas, they still did it. And some in some of the Hasidic communities, they still do it. Ara Yom Hazeh. But that wouldn't have solved the problem, because he still probably wouldn't have been able to go. And the Chevre, they would have, a few all day Israel on Yom Tov Sheni. But Lamaisa, so Lamaisa, he's my father-in-law sitting Shiva this week. Because they didn't bury before, and so the halacha is the last day of Yontif counts as day one, even though you're not sitting Shiva. That counts as day one, and then there's 6 more days. So then, basically on Shabbos, after davening, that's when the Shiva technically ends. And it's interesting that, in other words, once the person passed away on Friday, so then my father-in-law was an Oney. In other words, from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till Shabbos began, he's an Oney. He didn't daven mincha, he doesn't make a brachas, etc. But then once Shabbos and Yontif come, there's no aninus. There's no aninus. There's no aninus. If you're not going to bury on Shabbos, you're not allowed to bury, like the Shecht always points out. And there was a halach on Shabbos that you could maybe walk till the end of the Tchum on Shabbos to get ready for, but here they weren't doing that. And there was not going to be any burial for Yom Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Sheni. So then the Aninus ends. For 3 days, there's no Aninus. And then right after Yom Tov is over, right again, he doesn't have a Marif. Because the Aninus sets in again, because now you're already holding by the Kvura for the next day. So there's Aninus in the beginning on Friday. There was no Aninus Shabbos and Sunday, Monday. And then Monday night and Tuesday till the burial, there's Aninus again, meaning there would be no halacha, not doing mitzvahs and not davening, etc. So it's interesting in this week's parsha. So it's Yom HaShmini, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the time that the Mishkan was finally put up, and it was a time that Nadav Avihu died on that day, right? So Aaron HaKohen and his sons, Elazar v'Itamar, the remaining sons, were Ohanim. So they weren't allowed to eat korbanos, bring korbanos, but there were three special korbanos that were brought. There were three special korbanos that were brought on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that year. Number one, it was Rosh Chodesh, so you bring the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Number two, it was the 8th day of the Miluim, right? Because they started putting up the Mishkan on Chav Gimel Adar, and it put up, down, up, down. So they had the Vayiba Yom HaShmini. This week's parasha is this 8th day of the sanctification of the Mishkan. So they brought special korbanos for that. And then number three It was the beginning of the Parshas Noso, where that the Nisim brought the Korbanos. We read this on Hanukkah, right? Every day. So there was the Sir Nachshon. It was the Korban for Nachshon. It was the Korban for Nachshon Ben Aminadov. It was the first Korban, of the Nisim, as we read on Hanukkah. So those were the three special korbanos. So the question was, an onen usually doesn't bring korbanos, doesn't eat korbanos. So, but now they were onanim, right? And they had these three special korbanos. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that. He says to Aaron that even though you're owning him here, but today's a special day. So you should have the korbanos. Go as regular with the korbanos. So what happened? Aaron didn't listen. And they burnt the korban of Rosh Chodesh, and they didn't eat it. And Moshe was upset. Sirachatas Dorash Dorash Moshe Vinis Fayikzov. He was angry. He says, Parag Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Madua lo achaltem asachatas b'mkom HaKodesh. In other words, I understand you're owning him, and therefore you didn't eat the korban. But I told you that today is an exception. And that's why Moshe was upset. Vayikzav Moshe. Moshe was angry. He says, Madua lo achalta mesachatos b'mkom HaKodesh. Ki kodesh kodoshim hi. He was upset. I told you that Hashem said that this we're gonna lift the regular halacha over here. So why did you listen? You burnt it? You didn't eat it? Hey, it's not puzzle. You should have eaten it. So then the Torah, it's interesting. These whole psukim here in Perek Yud, in this week's Parsha, it's, in other words, without the Gemara and Zvachim, we wouldn't fully understand what went on. But you know what? So Aaron responded to Moshe. And he said, I think you misunderstood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Aaron said this to Moshe. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant? HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, we said there were three special korbanos that day. There was Rosh Chodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, number one. It was the seer of Nachshon, because of the Nisim, and it was the eighth day of the Milun. Now, Rosh Chodesh, that comes every week, every month. That's not a special thing for that, a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But the seer Nachshon was in a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That was a special seer to dedicate the Mishkan, right? The beginning of the dedicate every day. Another Nasi was going to bring the Karbanos. And the Miluim was the consecration of the Mishkan, the 7 days of up and down of the Mishkan. And then finally, by Yimash Miyom Hashmini. So Aaron said to Moshe, you know what Aaron said to Moshe? He said, I see what you meant, that you said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said over here is different, but probably he meant only the Rosh Chodesh Korban is different. Meaning, only the other Korbanos are different. Meaning because the Nachshon Korban and the Miluim Korban, that's once in a lifetime. So of course, over here we're owning him, but this is once in a lifetime. So by those korbanos, the din of aninus is lifted, and you could eat the korban. But Rosh Chodesh is not a special thing, because Rosh Chodesh is coming next month. Every month is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So it's not a once in a lifetime thing. So there, most probably, we follow the regular halacha, and we don't eat the korban by an onen. And that's why we burned. We only burned the korban of Rosh Chodesh. We didn't eat it. Because we figured that when you said HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted the rule over here, Mistama, he only lifted the rule by Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh, but I'm sorry, by the Nachshon and by the and by the and by the Miluim, because if we burn it now, we're never having it again, because this is a special once in a lifetime korban. So therefore, those you're right that we should eat. But the Rosh Chodesh, the reason why we burnt the Rosh Chodesh Korban and we didn't eat it, we didn't bring it on the Mizbeach, is because that is not a special Korban. That, because nothing special about Rosh Chodesh, there'll be a next Rosh Chodesh and the next Rosh Chodesh. And that's what Aaron said to Moshe. And you know how Moshe responded? Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Be'enov. He listened, and it was good. He understood. He was moida al ha'emes, and he wasn't embarrassed. So many years ago, when they came out with the Chidushi Alev, Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, so he quoted a beautiful thing from, there's a sefer called Sefer HaZikaron. And I quoted in my sefer, Imre Baruch, in the Vayikran, page Sadi Dalit. Sefer HaZikaron, it's a perish on Rashi. It's called Sefer HaZikaron. And Rav Henoch quotes that in his Shmuz, in the Chidushe Halev. And he says like this. He says there are three types of people. If you would point out a mistake, that you made a mistake in something, there are three ways that people could react to a mistake. One way is that a person just will be in denial. And he'll try to convince you that he didn't make a mistake, even though he really knows he did, but he can't be moida, he can't admit it. So he'll try to say something that it really wasn't. But so that obviously is the lowest madrega. The second madrega is that a person will admit it, but he'll feel like a shtickle embarrassed. He'll feel embarrassed that he made a mistake. He feels embarrassed. The third madrega is that a person will be besimcha, because he's so happy that someone put him on the right derech. Someone, he made a mistake, and you pointed out the mistake. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm besimcha. And that's the highest madriga. So says the Sefer Zikaron, and Rav Henoch elaborates on this in his Sefer. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was not from the first people. First people are just not truthful. They just, but what the Torah is trying to tell us is that Moshe Rabbeinu, not only that he wasn't, you know, he was honest to say that he made a mistake, but he was on the third madriga. And the third madriga that he felt besimcha, vayishma Moshe vayitav be'enav, means it was good in his eyes, meaning he's happy. He's happy that he was able to be corrected, that he had a misimpression of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, that Hashem said the laws of Aninus are lifted over here, but Aaron told him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only means it by the Kodshei Shah, not by the Kodshei Doros. Kodshei Shah means the things that are only once in a one-time thing. Like, it's not going to be again a Seir Nachshon. It's not going to be again the Miluim. So those things, so that's what Vayishma Moshe, you know, Vayitav Be'enov, that Hodav Lobosh, the Sefer Zikaron, on Perish Rashi says that he was happy. He felt this. Oh, now I know the emes. That's this madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then I bring in my sefer. There's a story about various gedolim, but regarding Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was one of the candidates to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah, which is the yeshiva that he was ultimately the Rosh Yeshiva. And the media, he right right over here, that there was a committee of people who were interviewing, you know, to see and they said that there were different rabbanim who were asking questions, and Shlomo Zalman answered, "I don't know the answer." And he got back to his house, and he says, "You know, most probably they're not going to give me, the job." But it was just the opposite. That the fact that he was willing to say Eini Yodea, that was that's the story of Michiel Michael Stern. It's over, and the fact that he was, that he had that intellectual integrity, that he, you know, he was, that he said Eini Yodea, so that was more impressive to the other rabbanim than anything, and ultimately he became the Rosh Yeshiva, and you know, for many many years he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. But that's this midah of the model Amis. You know, we say Olam Mihei Adam Yirei Shemayim. You know, there's a vort I heard from Moshe Stav in the name of, I think, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. We say every morning, Olam Mihei Adam Yirei Shemayim Moda El Emes V'Dover Emes B'Volvo. Right? We say that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that Olam Mihei Adam Yirei Shemayim. First of all, Olam Mihei Adam. The first thing is you have to be a mensch. The second thing is then Yirei Shemayim. But part of that is Moda La Emes, that a person is willing to be Moda La Emes, that he has the ability, that if he knows that sometimes if he made a mistake, so he made a mistake. So it's a very healthy midah to be able to be Moda La Emes, because and you're showing that it's not your covered, that you're, you know, you have this midah of emes. So that's the that's the ultimate, you know, the ultimate midah is midah so emes, as we say, you know, sheker ein lo raglayim, you know, but emes has a kiyum. Emes has a kiyum. So that's the midah. So that's the midah that we see in Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was onav mikol adam. You know, onav mikol adam, and that's why this, you know, there's a safer. The Satmar Rebbe's brother. Will come to me the name of the sefer, but the Satmar Rebbe's brother said the pshat of Moshe Rabbeinu. First, there's a sefer called Noam Megadim. That's a very famous Hasidic sefer. So it says the Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam Al Prei HaAdama doesn't only mean that he was a bigger Anav than everyone else. It means that when he had interpersonal relation, it was interpersonal relationships with other people, he always put that other person on the pedestal. That's the, you should always look in this. You know, there's the famous Igeres HaRamban. Igeres HaRamban, some Sidurim have it. I used to have a thing when I would come on Motzai Shabbos for Marv, there was always a couple of minutes before the Shal Shudas ended and Marv begins. So I take a sitter, I would read it every week. As he says, the Ramban, you should read it every week. The Igeres HaRamban. So that's what I would read the Igeres HaRamban. So the Ramban writes in the Igeres HaRamban, you should, whenever you speak to someone, always speak up to the person. Because who knows, just because you have a more important position or you're this or that, who says maybe he's more chashuv than you? You know, no one could say I'm more chashuv than another people. Just because in this world, people give you more recognition than someone else, doesn't mean that that person's not more chashuv than you. Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Ramban says. You always speak up to a person. Never speak down. Never speak down to a person. Always. So that was the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sefer Noam Agadim says he was an onav mikol adam, means not only was a bigger onav, means when he dealt with people, he always had that midah of the Ramban. He always had the midah of the Ramban that he treated everyone on the Madrega that they're greater than him. And that was the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the Satmar Rebbe's brother, the name of the Sefer is escaping me this moment, but the Satmar Rebbe's brother says that's why that Moshe Rabbeinu had nevuah even in the daytime. Other Nevi'im only had, Rambam says only Nevi'im only had nevuah at night. Because at night, they were on the Madrega of Anivas. Because at night, they're sleeping in bed, and it's them and the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're not interacting. So that was the Ikar Anava, was between them and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one level of Anava, to show that you know, the relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than you. But when people interact with other people, a lot of times they feel that they're greater than the other person. So then they don't have that midah of anava. But Moshe Rabbeinu had the midah of anava, says the Satmar Rebbe's brother, even in the daytime. Because when he was interacting with people in the daytime, he always gave them the, and this is an example, that Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Be'enav. In other words, for sure he didn't try, he could have told Aaron, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam meant. Or he could have been embarrassed. He wasn't trying to get away out of it. He wasn't trying to be embarrassed. But the main thing is that he was so happy that Aaron told him what the emes was. And then he was makabel, and that's the Ayishma Moshe. And that's what Rashi says. So who says that Eilucha lahakel b'kodshei doros? And he says, "Hodolo v'lobo shlomar lo shamati." You know, he was moda, and that's what this safe. You should look it up. And if you, I'm sure you have the Chidushi Halev, so you should look up in this parsha, because that's where I saw it originally quoted from. I've had a few quotes from this safe Zikar from Avram Bakrat, the three midos of when a person's in the arguing with his. With his friend, and that's the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. So that's the Noam Begadim says that he always knew how to employ the Ramban and the Ramban is, you know, this Igeres Ramban is something we should look at on a regular basis. You know, it's only one page, one sign. It's not a long thing. So it's good night. If you have some free time to look at this Igeres HaRamban, because basically it's about midos, and it's about how you have interpersonal relationships, and this week's parsha, I think, is a very good example of how Moshe Rabbeinu, employed this idea that, even though he was the more, you know, of course Aaron was his older brother, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. Moshe Rabbeinu was the, you know, but it's important that the leader has to know that he has to, you know, we say, you know, he has to know that he can make mistakes, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Hold of Lobosh. He was happy. So these are some of the ideas from this week's parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu, of some of Hilchos Avelos and Hilchos Aninus that come about. So we should only have a lot of occasions to be besimcha and to be and to learn Udei Hashem Yisharim Tzamchei Lev, the simcha of Torah and the simcha of Emes, because you know what the there's a famous mimer And it's a question. We don't really know who wrote this, who said this Maimer, but it's a true Maimer. And Maimer is Ein Simcha Kehataras HaSveikas. Right? And it's a question who we don't, some papers say it's the Rambam. So it's not clear. It's not even clear. The postscript said, Kemaimer HaChacham. It's not necessarily even clear if it was a Jew who would necessarily said it. But Ein Simcha, the greatest simcha you have in life when you're suffering at something and then you get clarity. That's the greatest simcha. That's a good thing for I tell my Talmidim about dating. You know, a lot of times should we break up or should we get engaged? You know, it's a big suffix. And then they finally have clarity in that matter. Ain't simcha kataras asfakas. So Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a question, what did Hashem mean? And Moshe Rabbeinu thought that Aaron gave him clarity. Ain't simcha kataras asfakas.